Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 20. It's a little longer than I usually use, but we're going to get through all of it. So if you'll start Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, so shall fall into the ditch. So both shall fall into the ditch, excuse me. Verse 15, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to each of us personally. As I said earlier, I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray, Father, for the very words to be put into my mouth, that it be from you and not from me. I pray, Father, that I would not hinder the deliverance of your message, but I would just be the messenger and the deliverer, and that it would go out and it would touch our hearts and change our lives for the better. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified, and we thank you for what you're going to accomplish here this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So guess who came for a visit? I read it. The scribes and the Pharisees show up for a visit, right? It's like the bigwigs from the denominational headquarters, right? They're on the scene. Here they show up. They come all the way from Jerusalem, and what do they want to do? They want to be on this fact-finding mission. They want to know if what Jesus is doing meets with their approval, right? I'm going to tell you this morning that if what Jesus is doing doesn't meet with your approval, you need to figure out a different approval. It's not because he's wrong, it's because you are wrong, and you've chose to do the wrong thing. But they have decided they need to come and find out, is what he's doing lining up with what we're teaching? Got news for you. If you want what Jesus is doing to line up with your teaching, you better be teaching from the Word of God. So I got news for you. He's not going to change. If you're not lining up with the Word of God, you need to change, not God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus had more problems with the religious crowd than he did with the lost people? Kind of interesting, isn't it? The religious crowd gave him more of a problem. They were more of a thorn in his side than any of the lost people ever could have been. It's interesting. As I've said many times, religion doesn't save anyone. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had religion, didn't they? Jesus rebuked them. He rebuked them. We don't need religion. What we need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Until you have that, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. A lot of people say, I know all about God, but that Jesus fellow, you can just do away with him. I got news for you. Unless you've come to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, you don't know God the Father. The Bible is very clear about that. We don't get to choose how we do that. Through his entire ministry, he had these religious groups that were a thorn in his side, and then they crucified him. People say, they put him to death. No, he laid down his life. The Bible is very clear. He laid down his life, and he took it up again. I don't want to be somebody that follows tradition. I want to be somebody who follows the Word of God. I want to be somebody who follows the truth. Pharisees, the scribes, they made a religion out of an outward matter instead of an inward experience. Till you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all it is an outward show. You need to know Him personally. Once you know Him personally, then it won't be just an outward show, but it'll be an inward transformation. We got to not let tradition take over. Truth must trump tradition. We have a problem in a lot of churches today. They say, well, we've always done it that way. I've heard it many times. Not necessarily here, but in my Christian walk, I've heard it many times. We've always done it that way. Doesn't make it right. Today's crowd wants to know why you believe what you believe, why you do what you do. Not just, it's what we've always done. Right? We were talking about the King James Version of the Bible this morning. There's a lot of people out there that use the King James because somebody handed it to them and said, this is what we use. So you ask them, why do you use the King James Version? I don't know, I was told it's what we use. Okay. So is that any different than somebody that was handed the NIV and said, this is what we use? Or the ESV or the whatever you want. I mean, there's a bunch of perversions out there, so put in the blank whatever one you want. You got to know why you believe what you believe and be willing to share it. But many churches today are dying on the vine. They're going the way of tradition instead of the way of truth. I know there's a church down in Texas that they built this nice new building. It's beautiful. It's amazing how beautiful it is. They got several builders in the church, so they, you know, all of the labor was donated for the church, so it was really nice. But it's an amazing transformation from what they were in. The building they were in, when it rains too much, the water comes up under the floor. It's all one level, built slab on grade, probably back in, you know, late 1800s or something. It's pretty old. So they said, we need to tear down the old building. We need to what? Is that old building anything spectacular? It served its purpose. But we can't get rid of it because great-grandpa helped build that building and we've got to keep it up. Why? Why do we need that? People get this idea that they need to do that. Now, I'm not saying all tradition is bad. I'm not saying that. But when tradition trumps truth, I have a problem with it. I have a huge problem with it. And we need to understand that it's the truth that we need. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, please. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Tradition becomes a bad thing when it surpasses truth, when it contradicts truth. Then we have a problem. We are not called to carry on tradition. We're called to proclaim the gospel, the truth. Our message should never change, but sometimes our methods need to, right? We sometimes have, I'm telling you, with the internet and all, there's a lot of garbage on the internet. And don't let me hear anybody say, "Well, it was on the internet, it must be true." I don't want to hear that. But the internet is a good tool to get the gospel out to a lot of people that may not ever have the truth presented to them any other way. So it could be a good tool. It's a different method than when I was a kid. We didn't have all that stuff. We didn't have electronics everywhere you turned, and it's crazy how it's everywhere. But we didn't have that then. So it's a new method. We can try new things. But let's stick with the truth. Don't change the Word of God, as many have tried. Just put the truth out in different avenues. Because the main objective is to get the gospel to every creature. We need to be doing everything we can to reach the lost. I tell you, we're running out of time. People say, "I've heard that my whole life." Have you looked around? Start looking at what's going on in the world and read the Word of God and find out that everything is lining up. Now, I can't tell you it's going to happen tomorrow, but I can tell you it could. I'm not one of those that's going to be a date setter. I'm one that says, I can tell you exactly when Jesus Christ is coming back. I can tell you exactly when that trumpet's going to sound. And it's when God tells Jesus Christ to go get His children. That's when it's going to take place. It's amazing how people think, well, it's going to happen in the fall, or it's going to happen in the spring, or it's going to happen after this feast, or it's going to happen after that feast. I'm telling you, just be looking, listening, and be busy about the Father's business. We get so focused on that that we forget that there's still lost and dying people in the world that need the gospel message. So still be about God's business. So we have the accusation of the Jews in verses 1 and 2. That, can you just see Jesus there saying, "Did you really come all this way to just say, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the law? Why do they eat without washing their hands first?'" You came all this way to ask that question? I mean, I could just imagine. Are you really that concerned about people washing their hands? And they were. Shouldn't it have been more important that people were getting saved? Shouldn't those things be more important? Now, let's not just blame them. Let's look around at us today. How many things are more important to us than lost people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I'll tell you how many things. Everything that kept you from sharing the Word of God this last week. Those were more important. There's people that are lost and dying and going to a place the Bible calls hell that will eventually be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Those people will never escape that. And what was more important than sharing the gospel with them? Now you have to understand some background here. When Jesus has them come and they're approaching Jesus with this question, in the days of Ezra, until the time of Christ, the Jewish people had the Word of God, and yet they had added to it. That never happens today, right? Nobody adds to the Word of God anymore. Yes, it does. All the time. People say, well, yeah, I know that's what it says, but this is what he actually meant. Okay, when you tell me that you have the mind of God, I'm going to tell you to read the Word of God, because it says his thoughts are greater than our thoughts, right? His ways are higher than our ways. So I don't think we can look at the Word of God and say, well, he really meant to say this. Because then what you're saying is God didn't know what he meant to say. So be careful with that. Be careful with that. But these things that they added, these man-made laws and their human interpretation of the laws and all of that became known as the traditions as they passed down from generation to generation, and more stuff was added. And it's all in a book called the Mishnah. The Mishnah, they compiled all this stuff, and the Mishnah kept getting thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker down through the ages as they kept adding more stuff. So not only did you have to follow the Word of God, but you had to follow this Mishnah book that had all these things that were man-made. Man-made interpretations of the Word of God. I tell people all the time, and I used to like when they'd come to my doorstep, but they ignore me now. They don't want to talk to me anymore. But I used to like when they came because I could say to them, you need to throw out this book and get into this one. Because if you add to this or take away from this, the Bible says that all the curses of this book should be put on you. I've got news for you, folks. Have you read the Bible? There's a lot of things that happened in the Bible that I don't want to have happen again. So we need to be careful. So when you get this book, the Mishnah, what's the best thing you could do with it? Burn it. It makes great fire starter, right? It's just like all the other perversions of the Word of God. They make great fire starter. If they're not good for you, they're not good for anybody. And we need to understand that. But all this was compiled and it became very burdensome to the Jewish people. It was hard for them to fulfill all of that. And by the time you got through all of that, then you had to get back to the truth and add that all. I mean, pretty soon it was just so burdensome to them, they just give up, right? There were some outrageous traditions, some absolutely outrageous traditions. On the Sabbath day, the Bible says to remember it and keep it holy, right? The Mishnah said that you could not even look in a mirror because you might find a gray hair and have a desire to pluck that out, which would be work. Now, some of us, if we plucked out all the gray hairs, we wouldn't have much left, right? I'm just saying, I would say it might be work to pluck out all the gray hairs, and you'd be late for church, by the way. So that's kind of crazy to start with. And then they said that you couldn't spit into the dirt because then you made mud, which would also be considered work. And you couldn't do that on the Sabbath day. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, these are just some of the more crazy things that they put in there. Then one of their biggest concerns was ceremonial cleanliness. They had to make sure everything was kosher, right? They had these intricate rituals for hand washing. And I'm going to read this because it's kind of interesting. They have nothing to do with hygiene, by the way, and everything to do with tradition. The mindset of the day said that when you slept, demons rested on your hands, and if you ate your food without doing certain ceremonial ritual, you would get a demon inside of you. Uh, one of the more bizarre things I've heard. You had to take, this is what the ceremonial system was. You had to take half of an eggshell of water and wash your left hand, palm up, and let the water run down off your elbow. And if it didn't run down off your elbow, you were not clean. And after you did the left hand, you had to do the right hand. And again, if the water didn't run down off the elbow, you were not clean. Anybody seen an eggshell these days? There isn't enough water in an eggshell, half an eggshell, to get to my elbow, right? It's crazy what they were trying to get these people to do. It had nothing to do with good hygiene at all. It had everything to do with following the traditions of men. So they drop in for a visit, not interested in truth, but what they're interested in only is, are our traditions being followed? Were they being followed? That's all they cared about. If Jesus didn't follow their traditions, then he was a heretic. Isn't that what it is today? If the Word of God does not line up with what I'm doing, then the Word of God is wrong. That's the mindset today. Well, God forbid I could be wrong, right? No, if the Word of God in your life doesn't line up, you need to be the one to change. People don't like that. Why should I have to change? Well, because Jesus isn't going to. The Word of God is not going to change. No matter how much Satan has tried to change the Word of God, it's still the same. Don't get tied up in all those perversions and all. Throw them out. They're not good for you. They're not good for anybody. Just stick with what God has given us in the English-speaking language, which is the King James Version of the Bible. And it doesn't need to be corrected, as so many people think. Many religious people are of the same band. They are bound by these traditions. The traditions are, and by the way, these traditions that they hold to are nowhere in the Bible. I know I've read through the Bible many times. I've never once heard about an eggshell, half an eggshell with water in it dripping off your hand. Never. It's not in there because it's man-made. What we need, instead of man-made traditions, what we need is the truth of the Word of God to be our final authority. Our problem is we don't want a final authority. Where are we at today? All authority figures have been run through the mud, haven't they? Why do you think crime is on the uprise? Your law enforcement officers have no authority anymore. I'm just telling you. Why do you think that? Because we don't have authority in our lives here. We don't look to God as our authority. But it doesn't diminish the fact that He is. We need to decide we're going to stand with God's Word and not what man wants. There was a pastor who was run off from his church. People say, well, why was that? Was it adultery? Did he steal money? Was he teaching false doctrine? No. All he did was move the pulpit from the platform because they were having a nativity play in the church put on by the kids. So he moved the pulpit so everybody could see what was going on, and the committee, the stage committee, praise the Lord, we have no committees here. But the stage committee blew up and ran him off. You think that's crazy, don't you? It really happened. Another pastor was given a hard time. The church was packing out. They had no room for people and more visitors were coming. I'd love to have that problem, wouldn't you? More people were coming. He noticed that during the winter months, people were taking their coats off, laying them beside them, and sitting. So he made an announcement that people should hang their coats up in the foyer before they come in and sit down, and they'd have more room. One of the elderly ladies in the church, at the next business meeting, don't pull this stunt tonight, by the way, comes in and says, "Pastor, I have a problem with your idea." I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, I have always sat here with my coat next to me. Why would you even suggest I hang it up out there? And before that, my dad used to sit in the pews in this church, and his coat sat next to him. How could you dare suggest that we should have to hang up our coats?" She then went on to say, "If it was good enough for their coats to sit next to them in the pew when my dad was here, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us today." Well, I don't know exactly how I would have handled that situation, but it might have sounded something like this. "It's an issue of the heart. You obviously need to spend some time with God in prayer and get your heart right, and then hang your coat up in the hallway." I'm just saying, it might sound something like that. People say, "You can't do that." If it came to it, I just might. But can you believe running off pastors because of such trivial garbage? Because they're more concerned about their traditions than the truth of the Word of God. These people that rode into town, they were powerful people. They were powerful people. And they expected people to cower down to them when they rode into town. But Jesus didn't. See, Jesus wasn't afraid of them. There's no need to be afraid of them. Jesus didn't have to be. He wasn't intimidated by them in the least. And I'm not saying that pastors need to be stubborn and hard-headed and dictators and all that. I'm not saying that. But I believe that we should be bold enough to stand for something that's important, and it's the truth. Too many people are rolling over and playing dead. I can't tell you how many independent Baptist churches where they've gone away from the King James Version of the Bible because it's the right thing to do. I'm sorry, it's the wrong thing to do. We're not changing here. Not while I'm here. We're going to stand true to the King James Version of the Bible. And we're not going to try to change it. We're not going to try to make it something that it's not. We need to take a stand for what's right. And I know it's not as popular as it once was. Not here to make man happy. Here to please God. So they expected they were going to control the people. It's what they thought they were going to do. But I tell you what, when it comes down to it, the traditions of men can be thrown out. The truth of the Word of God has to stay. Jesus answered them right back with an accusation. His answer's in verse 3. It says, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" By your tradition, excuse me. He shows them their hypocrisy. Yeah. Jesus said they were hypocrites all the time, so he shows them their hypocrisy. They are walking outside of the lines themselves, and yet the lines that they're walking outside of are the very lines that God himself had drawn. It's See, they're upset with people that are walking outside the lines they drew, but they're walking outside the lines that God drew. I'd say they're the ones that are having the problem that needs to get corrected. Matthew 15 and verses 4 through 6, it says, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition." They're saying, what are you doing? Jesus is dealing with them based on the fifth commandment from the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and your mother. And this means including taking care of them as they get older. Tell you, I can't... grates on my nerve. When you go to the nursing homes and you see people who have been dropped off by their families and never hear from their family again. Seriously, folks, shouldn't we be concerned about what happens to our, and as I age, I hope my kids listen to this message, but I'm telling you, shouldn't we be concerned about our parents? How about our grandparents? If you're fortunate enough to still have them around, you need to be taking care of them and not throwing them to the wayside. These leaders, though, devised a clever plan of how to get out of this. What they decided was, we're going to call it Corban. Corban was something that was dedicated to God. It was a gift dedicated to God. Now remember this part. They could still have access to it and do whatever they wanted with it, but their parents couldn't touch it. See, if we just say, well, it's a gift to God, so nobody can have any part of it. How about if we just say, you know, God gave us a job and we're making X dollars, right? And God says he gets the first fruits, right? The tithe, he gets the first fruits. And we go, well, you know what? Instead of giving the tithe, I'm just going to dedicate all this money to God so I can still have access to it and do whatever I want with it. Does that make any sense to anybody? No. We're supposed to follow God's word. Not what we feel we want to do, but what God's word says. And they say, no. We can do this because then we can circumvent that and we can, yeah. They want their cake and eat it too. The problem is, doing something and attaching God's name to it doesn't make it right. And they do that. Right? It happens all the time. People say, well, I did this in God's name. But it was contrary to his word. That's all right, I did it in his name anyway. You know, one day you're going to get to stand before him and you're going to get to say, well, yeah, I know I didn't follow your word. In fact, I went contrary to it, but I did it in your name, so it's okay, right? Let me know how that works. I don't think he's going to let that fly. I think you're going to be held accountable for that. Then in verses 7 through 8, he goes on and he calls them hypocrites. One thing I never want to hear the Lord say about me, ye hypocrite, right? We should be true to the word of God instead of being a hypocrite. The word comes from a Greek word literally meaning play actor. In the Greek theater, they wore masks. The good guys wore a smiley and the bad guys wore a frown. That way you could tell who was who. Jesus pointed out that these guys were just religious play actors. They were playing a part, but there was nothing within their heart. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. They weren't following God's word at all. They were all just playing. People can do that today. People can come week after week after week into a church service. They can put on their Sunday best. They can put on their smile. They can make it look good. But they're not fooling God. Jesus called them hypocrites. They acted like they really loved God, but God knew their hearts. You can fool me. You can probably fool everybody in this room, but you'll never fool God. It's not going to happen. Then Jesus gives them an application in Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." And then drop down to verses 15 and 16. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding?" Yeah, Peter didn't get it. Peter didn't get it. I wonder how many times we don't get it. But Jesus said, "What you eat is no big deal. That's not the big deal. Sin doesn't begin in the stomach, it begins in the heart." Peter had been raised a good Jew. He knew that there were some things that you just are simply not to eat. He got it. He knew that. But Peter isn't going to get what Jesus is talking about until over in Acts chapter 10. Then he gets it. Then he gets it. When he gets the great vision, he gets it. And then 17 through 20 of our text says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Jesus says, what you eat might make you sick. And that's possible. It might make you sick, but it will not make you a sinner. What you eat does not make you a sinner. Unhealthy, maybe, but not unholy. We're all guilty of some unhealthy eating, right? It's not about the hands, it's about the heart. Saying, it's in the heart. Sin starts inside and works its way out. It's not on the outside coming in. It works out from the inside. And we see that. And sin always has potential before it comes actual. So first of all, Jesus says, love from the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So love from the heart. Then look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6, 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." So obey from the heart. And then give from the heart in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So give from the heart. Tithing is not a money issue, it's a heart issue. Being worldly is not a behavior problem, it is a heart problem. I can tell you over and over and over, when people have an issue with God's word, it's an issue of the heart. They don't want their heart to get right. They don't want to change to follow God's word. So now Jesus has just blown these guys to shambles, right? He just walked all over them. He made null and void their traditions, and this means war. And the disciples are shaking in their sandals, right? Look at verses 12 through 14 of our text. Verse 12, it says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." He says, big deal. Don't worry about it. If they don't want to change, that's their choice, right? Don't be worried about it. But make sure you are not offending God. I can't make anyone other than me do what we're supposed to do, right? I can't force you to. The only one I can control is me. So you have to decide that you're not going to offend God. We got to decide we don't want to offend God and not be worried about offending man. If man's offended because they don't like the fact that you're following the word of God, that's their problem. Again, an issue of the heart. Tradition exalts people, where truth humbles people. Tradition creates pride, and truth creates holiness and humility. Tradition is impersonal. Truth is intimate. Tradition only affects the outside. Truth penetrates the heart. Tradition produces hypocrites. Truth produces servants of God. Tradition is something you keep. Truth is something that keeps you. Jesus never said he was the way, the tradition, and the life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, the Bible tells us over in John 4:24. So why did you come to church today? It's a good question, right? Why did you come to church today? Why did you sing the hymns this morning? Why did you serve? Is it habit and tradition? Or is it a heart filled with love? We have to decide why. Too many people come into church and they check the box, right? Gave God an hour this morning. Check that box. The preacher read from the Bible. There's my Bible reading. Check that box. There was prayer given during the church service. Check that box. My prayer time's done. Right? There's a lot of people who do that. Not necessarily saying in this building today, but I'm saying people do that. Thinking that because somebody else has done it, they're checked their boxes. And that's why they do what they do, so they can check the box. God says, "I want you to do it because you love me." Yeah. Some people say, "Well, I serve him just because he saved me." Are you trying to pay back your salvation? Let me just tell you, it's never going to work. "Well, I just serve him because of all the blessings I'm going to get." Because the Bible talks about blessings if I serve him. No. He wants us to serve him because we love him. Because we love him. Out of preference. Not out of duty, but out of preference. The saddest example of being bound by tradition is a lost person who thinks they are saved because they're keeping some tradition, only to find out that they weren't. There's a big difference between ritual and righteousness, between religion and relationship. That relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not enough to just know about Jesus, but you need to know Him in truth. You need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Most important thing. I don't care about everything else. People say, yeah, but people's health is... More than their health, we need to be praying for their salvation. Which one's going to last for all eternity? So we need to quit being so focused on traditions of men and be more focused on the truth of the Word of God. Are we more concerned about ceremonial washing, or are we more concerned about serving the Lord according to truth? Let's throw out the traditions of men. Let's hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. Let's pray.